out there, everyone in podcast land, and welcome back to the Front Row Podcast, the podcast for people who actually like movies, right here on NPRIllinois.org, and your latest episode here of Full Disclosure Minis. I'm Jeremy Gechner, the editor-in-chief of the Front Row Network, and I am here to give you a solo review of the new Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix. Now, obviously, a lot of stuff has been said about this movie already. A lot true, a lot not true. I'm here to try and dispel any rumors for you, but as always, on Full Disclosure, we treat these reviews full spoiler, so we act as if you were right there in the theater seeing this movie with us. So if you have not seen Joker, if you really want to see it and you don't want anything in the movie spoiled, bookmark this, pause it, bookmark it for later, go see the movie, and then listen to this episode, because we are going to talk about everything that happens. So there you go, you've been warned, and Full Disclosure starts now. Okay, so Joker, this is the new film based on the iconic DC supervillain of DC superhero Batman, the Joker, this time played by veteran and just insanely good actor Joaquin Phoenix. This version is directed by Todd Phillips, who's known mostly for his comedy work and stuff like The Hangover as a director and as a writer. But he's switching gears here to do really what you would have to call a prestige drama, or at least an attempt at a prestige drama, here with this character. Now, important to note here that while this is a DC comic book movie, while this is based on the DC comic book characters, this is not actually connected to the DC canon of films that already exist. So, you know, like the Wonder Woman's, Aquaman's, Batman v Superman, Man of Steel, all of those are all one universe there, but this movie is not connected to that universe. Technically, that universe, the Joker, would be played by Jared Leto, that we saw in Suicide Squad, but this one is actually, Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix have both said that this is a standalone film. It stands on its own. It doesn't correlate to anything, any other movie in any DC canon universe of films. So it's very important to note that off the bat, because the film is playing with a Gotham City that feels a lot like, you know, a downtrodden economic times. I mean, it says it takes place in the 80s, and it definitely does kind of have that vibe, but that kind of feels to me just like a throw-in for, like, this is how we're dressing this place. So, I mean, it's a little Burton-y in that regard. You know, the dress is a little old-fashioned, but mostly what we're going for here is just an incredibly dark time in Gotham's history. The economy is doing terrible. There's so many people that are out of work. And there's just a palpable anger in the air in this Gotham City. And chief right among that, and right smack dab in the middle of that, is Arthur Fleck, played by Phoenix here. So Arthur is a very disturbed individual. He was committed for a time. He has a condition where he sometimes has fits of uncontrollable laughter, especially in awkward social situations and situations that he finds particularly awkward, or where he's feeling particularly anxious. He actually has these fits of uncontrollable laughter, and it's a mental condition that he has. He even carries around a little laminated card that he can hand people when he's in the middle of one of these fits, so they know what's happening. As happens when he's trying to cheer up a kid on the bus, and the kid's mom thinks that he basically is kind of just assuming that he's doing something weird, and says, you know, stop messing with my kid, which just causes him to outburst. Arthur has, like, he gets medication through a city social worker that also kind of serves as a de facto therapist. He lives with his mother in a rundown apartment building. His mother is played Penny. She's played by Frances Conroy. And basically, he works as a kind of clown for hire through, like, a clown agency in Gotham City. The very first time we see him, he is holding a everything must go, going out of business sign, sale sign outside of a business. And he's jumped by a bunch of teenage kids and beaten pretty ferociously. And of course, his boss doesn't even believe him that the sign was stolen and such. You know, he finds that just too unbelievable. So Arthur is, you know, a really great facsimile for what Gotham City is in this version of this story, which is just a place that is so amazingly terrible that they give you, it's basically used as a justification for why Arthur starts to feel and do the things that he does. And to Phillips and Joaquin's credit, and Phoenix's credit here, you know, Phillips knows that the biggest asset of his movie is the performance of Joaquin Phoenix. And let's just get it out of the way right now. It is a really, really great performance. I don't know if I would put it up as an Oscar-worthy performance. I mean, I can make the case for it to get nominated, but I don't think that it quite rises to the level of a winning Oscar performance. But to be sure here, I mean, Phoenix is doing what he does in every film. He is totally immersing himself in the character. He and Daniel Day-Lewis are really the ones that do this the best. Just the really full Meisner effect acting experience there, where they just, you believe every single aspect of them into this character. And it's when things start really going awry for Arthur that things just, you know, it just continues to go over and over and over. You know, he gets fired from his job because a friend clown of his gives him a gun at the agency to protect himself. And then while he's performing at a children's hospital, the gun accidentally falls out. And this, of course, prompts him to get fired after his friend clown there lies and says that he didn't give it to him. And then, like, in addition to that, that leads to just him being on the subway train and these guys giving him a hard time, these Wall Street banker types. And as they're beating him up, he just has had enough. He pulls out the gun and kills all three of them. And this prompts this movement almost in Gotham about this, about rich people and poor people, the haves and the have-nots, and how there's just this palpable anti-rich sentiment that springs from this. And in a way, this is finally Arthur getting some attention and getting some admiration in a very twisted way that has eluded him for his entire life. And that really starts the spiral completely downward and downward and downward. He tries to be a stand-up comedian, but he's, of course, not very good at it because he's very socially awkward here. And one night, his favorite late-night comedian, Maury Franklin, played by Robert De Niro, plays the clip of his stand-up routine and makes fun of him. And this, again, just continues just down this downward trajectory of bad news. He also learns that his mother, who's been obsessed with Thomas Wayne, yes, that Thomas Wayne, her whole life, actually claims in letters that she continually sends to Thomas Wayne that Arthur is his son, his illegitimate son. And it's through this that Arthur goes to confront Thomas at Wayne Manor that we meet young Bruce Wayne and young Alfred Pennyworth. And a crazy confrontation with Thomas Wayne as well, in the middle of an opera house, leads Arthur to Arkham Asylum, where he finds out that his mother was actually committed there, and that he's not Thomas Wayne's son, but he was actually adopted by Penny and physically abused by her and her boyfriend at the time. There was mentioned that he had a traumatic head injury, which is probably what is responsible for his laughing condition as the result of this abuse. All of this just continues to be too much for Arthur. He ends up smothering his mother to death in the hospital after she has had a stroke. And, you know, we also get all these scenes with Zazie Beetz, who plays this young single mother in the building. And we think that she is one of the few bright spots in Arthur's life, that she treats him well. She treats him with respect. She actually genuinely seems to like him and see some good in him. But it is after all of this stuff starts going wrong for Arthur that we learn that all of these scenes that we've seen were actually just in Arthur's head. And when he shows up in her apartment, she has no idea who he is and is scared to death of him. And is once this happens that he fully dons the makeup of the Joker, Maury Franklin wants him to come on the show, presumably to make fun of him again. Now, it looks like Arthur is planning to kill himself on the show. But as he has finally kind of embraced his dark side, especially after killing his friend, the clown that gave him the gun, when he comes to check on him / check on their stories with the cops, you know, he fully kind of embraces just this criminal aspect, this psychotic side of his personality. And through this daring chase through this subway car with these other people who are dressed as clowns for this rally because of what Arthur has started, you know, that leads to these two cops getting mercilessly beaten. And then on the show itself, Arthur finally kind of has his moment where he talks about how, you know, this is what he started, and, you know, like how the rich and the high ups of Gotham don't care about the little people, and that if it was him bleeding out instead of these three Wall Street banker types in the subway car, nobody would give a crap. But because Thomas Wayne speaks up for them, that's why everybody cares. Like Maury, he and Murray start getting into just this heated back and forth exchange, and it ends Hines and Arthur shooting Murray on air. And this leads to just widespread riots throughout the city that also leads to the death of Thomas and Martha Wayne in front of Bruce's eyes in the alleyway. Arthur is eventually picked up, and even though his followers now, so to speak, spring him from police custody, he is eventually caught, sent to Arkham Asylum, and kills his therapist, his new therapist there, at the end of the film. Look, the film is... The film in a vacuum is a lot clunkier than I think it wants to be. I understand what it's going for. I really do. It's going for a real desperate look at what would make someone turn into a psychotic clown prince of crime, so to speak, here in Gotham. What it's trying to do, though, I think, is make a broader point, not just about this person, but about kind of society as a large. Like, so every moment of this film that I was watching it, I was seeing that Phillips is trying to make an allegory for the times we currently find ourselves in. And there's merit in that. There absolutely is, because we are living in really crazy times right now, especially in the United States of America, but all over the world as well. It seems that there's just a general lack of niceness and empathy and sympathy even as well, but definitely empathy, trying to figure out like what the other guy is feeling. And that's actually something that Arthur says to Murray on the show. So the broader point he's trying to make there is all good and well, but it's a very fine line you have to walk when you're making that point towards whether you're trying to show like a reason for this kind of brutality in the world versus trying to put a heroic gloss on it. And that's really the hard point. That's what a lot of groups have come out against with this film. You know, trying to put a heroic, almost sympathetic gloss on the character of the Joker is a dangerous thing. And I will say, like, I think that Joaquin Phoenix does this better than Todd Phillips, the director, does. Joaquin really does paint a portrait of a person that has reasons for becoming a psychotic killer, but at the same time, he doesn't try to glorify the actions so much as justify them. And, I mean, that might seem like a very... I don't know. That might seem like a very, very thinly veiled line there, but I think that Joaquin Phoenix treads it better than the director Todd Phillips does. Now, a lot of the stuff in this movie comes out after the fact. Like, the stuff with Zazie Beetz is very, very weird and very... all over the place, but when you see it in the context of it's actually Arthur just kind of imagining all this stuff, it starts to, you know, once you look back on it, but in the moment it's pretty clunky there. But honestly, the biggest gripe I have about the movie is that the Wayne stuff isn't really needed. It's not really needed in the sense of, you know, you don't really need the scene with Bruce. I know you put it in there for fan service. You don't really need the scene with, you know, Thomas Wayne. I mean, I get that, you know, it serves as a way to get him to Arkham, but you could have gotten him there another way. It seems like you put the Wayne beats in there because it's what the fans are looking for, as opposed to, you know, like a truly earned way to deepen the storyline. I will say the ending of the film is pretty chilling because if you blink, you can miss it a little bit if you've already checked out. But it's like after Arthur is talking to his therapist at Arkham, he's walking down the hallway in slow motion. And as he's walking away, it's just a very white scene. It's a very white, bright scene. But as he's walking away, his footprints leave trails of blood. So the implication that he killed his new therapist that he just got there. And I gotta say, the last joke, quote unquote, the last line of the movie is kind of just, it's kind of a highbrow outline for Todd Phillips, because of course, as he's sitting there after all of this chaos has ensued, he's talking to his therapist and laughing uncontrollably, and she says, "What's so funny?" And he says, I was just thinking of a joke. Why don't you tell it to me?" "Well, you wouldn't get it." So it's kind of like the director is saying to all of us, like, "Well, if you didn't get this, you know, you just don't get it." You know, like that kind of a thing, which I honestly don't really like. You know, I think just like take pride in the movie you're making. But I will say that I think that, you know, another reviewer said it the same thing. It's like, if you look at, like, Heath Ledger's performance in The Dark Knight, that one was all-encompassed in the line, "Why so serious," right? And that was kind of a self-critique of the film itself as well. This one, the "what's so funny" could probably be a great way of describing this film, because it's about a guy who, despite his shortcomings, tries to find his place in this dark, bleak world, but the world just continually will not let him have that place. And every single time he turns somewhere for some worth and some knowledge, it just won't let him have it. And in a way, that means that we get to highlight this performance by Joaquin Phoenix, which is great. But at the same time, we're left with a movie that leaves us feeling hollow, which leaves us feeling like we didn't really accomplish anything in it. And that seems to be saying that anarchy and destruction is a viable form of outrage towards a system that is unfair. And honestly, that's not something we want to encourage in our viewers or in anything that we do in life. So again, there's a lot of mixed results from this. Now, would I recommend this movie? I don't see any reason why not. Now, understand that you're watching a movie that is very deliberate in what it does. This is not the kind of mass popcorn appeal of a comic book movie that you get from like a Marvel or even from more recently DC. But is it worthwhile? Sure, I think it's worthwhile. I think it's worth a watch. And it does spur some very interesting conversations and some very interesting perspectives. So that's my personal take on it. On full disclosure, we rank out of 10. Honestly, at this moment, I would give Joker a 6.5 out of 10. A 6.5 out of 10 is where I'm going to land on this one. Again, a great all-time performance here from Joaquin Phoenix. But the movie is just a little too clunky, a little too sloppy for my taste to give it a higher score. But I'm going to watch it again. I look forward to watching it again to see if I can find some more stuff there. And also just a lot of stuff about symbolism in this, about what the Batman symbol and what the clown mask symbol can actually mean. So there's going to be way more talked about with this movie, but that's it for this episode of Full Disclosure. If you want to find more from the Front Row Network, find us online on social media, the Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram, Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter, or you can find us on our websites, frnpod.com, or of course, as always, on nprillinois.org. I'm Jeremy Gechner, and that's going to do it for this episode of Full Disclosure. As always, we will see you in the front row.